Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 21st of April, 2020. I am Steve, and on today's My Spurs Journey, we've got Andy Goldberg. How are you doing, Andy?
Yeah, really well, thanks, Steve.
Brilliant. Now, you're a member of sort of the original Tottenham Football Fan Cast crew from back in the day, down at the Bell and Hare. There was me, you, Martin Heiser, Dan Jones, the poet, obviously Colin.
Yep.
Few of us down. I'm looking at a photo now on your Skype of all the characters.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. That
Jason
was, wasn't
McGovern,
it?
Jason McGovern, you know, you always like to mention. We all got chatting and we've met up probably once or twice. That's about it really. Just sort of keeping contact over Skype. So how you been keeping over the last few weeks?
Yeah, really well. Just sort of been working from home, obviously with the current situation. But we're all doing good down here in Hastings. Pretty cool.
And you've got a bunch of kids, haven't you?
Yeah. I've got my eldest son. Yeah, all different ages. My eldest son's just come back from Australia about 5 weeks ago. So he's been away for a couple of years. So yeah, he had a good time out there.
Okay. And because you're a young man, what's going on with all these kids? Couldn't keep it in your trousers, could you, when you were young?
Oh, no, I know, mate. Yeah, I'm not that young.
Lucky man.
Yeah.
Childhood would be a fine thing. My dad used to say, right, you make sure you look after yourself when you go out. My dad was like, he's all right. Childhood would be a fine thing for that boy. Anyway, moving on. You're a runner as well.
Yeah, I run for my local running club, Hastings Runners. I haven't done too much over the last sort of 6 months, but I'm an avid runner. I have not to your standards though, Steve, doing marathons.
Wow.
But I've done plenty. I think I've done about 18 or 19 half marathons, loads of 10Ks and all that sort of stuff. I try and do it. It keeps me fit. That's the main thing, the reason why I do it.
I only do it so I can keep drinking beer and eating burgers. when I say I do the marathon, I literally, you know, keeps me out of the house. I just plod along, really. Are you a plodder or are you a bit competitive?
I'm a bit of a plodder now. I used to sort of run a, I wouldn't say competitive, but within our club, used to be a bit competitive between sort of, you know, the groups that we was with. I mean, I think my best 5K I've ever done is about 23 minutes for 5K.
Yeah.
And which is pretty cool, but yeah, cool.
I don't really know. I mean, I've been running, you know, certain distances.
Yeah.
What are the government regulations on exercises? I don't know, because like it's supposed to be the marathon on Sunday, you know, quite honestly, I'd love to do it. I can do it because I'm fit enough to do it, and I've carried on my training, although I haven't done like my very long runs. Do you know how long you're supposed to be out for before you can start getting told off?
I think they said you're allowed to go out like for an hour's exercise, but I mean, I know because we had the Hastings Half Marathon, which would have been about a few weeks ago, and I know a lot of individuals still run that, still did it. Obviously, they done it on their own, some of them would take you like a couple of hours. So, I wouldn't see there being a problem if you was to go out and run a marathon. I don't think anybody would stop you.
I don't, but the trouble is, if I then start, because I'd want to like tell people, and if I start putting that stuff up on, now I think what I'm going to do, and my garden's not quite big enough, because I've run around the garden, it takes like 30 seconds to do one lap around the garden, so I just can't do that. But I already sort of said to my sponsors, people that sponsored, that I'm going to do it, And I'm going to do the actual marathon in which is going to be in October now, hopefully.
I'm
just going to wait until like they you know, lift restrictions basically, and I'll just do it then, which will probably be, well, what are we looking at? End of May, maybe June. So it'll be boiling hot, but I'll just make sure I run like down the high street so that I can pick up drinks of water as I go along,
As long as you stay hydrated, I think that's the main thing with that, isn't it? If you sort of stay hydrated like a week before you actually do a big run like that, you're normally pretty good.
Well, that's the thing with this, with the marathon being in October, people are going to have to train over the summer, which is a massive difference, because you train for the normal marathon, you train over the winter, so it's freezing cold, so it's brilliant.
Yeah,
you don't really need that much fluids, and then you know, and the marathon is when it starts to warm up. This is going to be boiling hot. And the marathon training, and then the marathon's going to be when it gets a bit colder. But there we go. Right, boring everybody with the running talk, but I thought I'd have a chat about that. Mate, let's get into the My Spurs journey then. Who is your favourite football club?
Tottenham Hotspur, of course.
Why is that then?
It's in the family.
Is it?
It goes right back to my great-great-grandfather back in the sort of early 20s, 30s.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's just in the family.
Goldberg, is that a Swedish name, or is that from the Jewish roots?
It is from the Jewish roots. Going back in when I've done a bit of ancestry stuff, my family come from Poland, really? Jewish Poland from Poland. So it's in the blood.
Okay, brilliant. And what is your favourite country?
Oh, well. England, obviously, because I live here. But if I was I do like Spain, actually. Like Spain. I've been a few times. Yeah, quite like that.
All right, mate. Who is your most disliked football player?
Oh, that's a tough one. That is, isn't it? Most disliked football player.
Because there's so many.
I hate loads of players. Sol Campbell.
Just gone for the obvious one.
Probably also Charlie Nicholas, didn't like him.
So I'm 45, nearly 44, yeah. 45. How old are you?
I'll be 53 this year.
Okay, Christ, you don't look it, mate. Well, you would have seen Charlie Nicholas in his prime then. What was it you didn't like about him?
I don't know. It's just his whole arrogance. And I remember going one of the games at Highbury when they were playing, and he squared up a few times to Graham Roberts, and then Graham Roberts just put him in the stand. That was brilliant.
Yeah,
I remember it like it was yesterday. It was quality.
I mean, he comes across so arrogant on Sky Sports. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that it shouldn't be on telly, because I think that, you know, you do need sort of your heroes and villains to watch.
Yeah.
But that panel on Sky Sports, you know, you've got two massive Arsenal players. And as I've said on the show a few times, like last season, I always like to look at the predictions on Sky Sports. And Paul Merson did all of last year's. Like, every game was Arsenal going to win this, Spurs going to lose. And then this year they got Charlie Nicholas. And again, it's exactly the same. Arsenal going to win the game, Spurs are going to lose the game. It's just annoying. It's, you know, I don't mind having arguments and stuff, but I think it frustrates me more. They think that Arsenal are still so superb. On that, who is your most hated football club?
Oh, has to be the Woolwich. Arsenal, yeah, definitely. I hate them. I mean, there's lots of other teams I probably don't like as well, but that team,
Why don't you like Arsenal? Come on. It's just the
whole rivalry, you know, from when I first started going and watched Spurs, and then got in with a group of lads, and it was just, you know, that was the hatred. It was just so in the forefront of everything, and the club tradition in it. You have to hate your rival.
So when you say group of lads, what's this, like a few Herberts?
Yeah, sort of back in. back in the sort of early 80s when I first started going on my own, you know, got in with a bunch of guys that used to go sort of in the park lane.
Yeah.
And obviously you always be next to the away supporters, so there always used to be quite a lot of abuse thrown at each other. So yeah, you know.
Good fun. Did you have a drink before the game back in those days?
No, not really. Well, I used to go to the pub, but I never used to drink because obviously I was only sort of like 14 when I first started going on my own. So no, but then obviously we every now and again we used to get a craft. Somebody used to buy us a crafty lager.
Yeah.
So yeah, but, yeah.
And then, what about your favourite ever player?
Wow, my favourite ever player. Well, I'd have to be Glenn Hoddle, I think. There's a few others that sort of come really close, but I think because obviously when I first started the game, watched Tottenham on my own when I was sort of that age, Glenn Hoddle was there, and he was so underrated. Really, he was brilliant. He had so much vision, and his passing was superb. It was just brilliant, and he just carved teams open. Yeah. I mean, and this person that would probably come second to that would probably be Paul Gascoigne. Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant. He was brilliant as well.
Were they both? Because Gazza, what I used to love about Gazza was he would go, give me the ball, give me the ball.
Yeah.
You'd see him motion, whereas in latter years you see players pointing everywhere, going, pass it to him. But Gazza was always like, give me the ball. Was Hoddle very much like, give me the ball as well?
I think the other team members around him knew what he could do, so they would always feed the ball to him. But I'll tell you what you were saying about Paul Gascoigne. I mean, I remember, you know, going when I used to go stand on the shelf or whatever. When he used to pick the ball up, there used to seem this buzz in the crowd, and you knew he was going to do something with it. And you know, a lot of the times he probably didn't, but I mean, the times when he did, it was just a joy to watch.
Yeah,
joy to watch.
I think that's the difference now. That obviously, Gazza, whenever he got the ball, he didn't all the time do something brilliant, but he'd look to do something brilliant. So he'd get the ball, he'd turn, you know, try and go forward, but try and take someone on, try and look for the pass. You could see him physically doing it. Whereas nowadays, I just see these players who I like, but they get the ball and their first thought is, well, I'm going to lay it off, rather than, right, what can I do with the ball? You know, almost saw it biding their time. Thinking, I won't try and do something now. I'll wait till later in the game. Whereas Gazza was like, from minute one,
give
me the ball, I'm going to run at them, I'm going to try a pass on, and if there isn't one on, I'll lay it off in that circumstance.
Yeah, he was, you know, he reminded me so much of Diego Maradona. You know, he used to just get the ball and just go past about five or six players, you know, with ease. Yeah. Gascoigne was in the same mould as that.
Brilliant. And who's your favourite ever manager?
Keith Birkinshaw, really.
Yeah.
I think because in my time, when I started going and watched Spurs, you know, he was sort of manager, although it was sort of latter stages he was manager there. But he was probably because in my era he won the most for the club, really. Mm. And I used to really like him. I'd say that he'd probably be my favourite. Coming up behind him would probably be, in recent times, I like Terry Venables. He was good, but he was only at the club for a while, and he was always dodgy. And Pochettino. But the unfortunate thing with Pochettino is towards the end, although, you know, everyone said he was a great manager, but if you looked at our record over the last sort of like 18 months, when, you know, our performance wasn't very good. But
it's a strange one, wasn't it? Because when we look back on the season, as I always say, you review it and you go, right, well, semi-final of the League Cup, knocked out on penalties. Obviously, Champions League final, first time in our history, and coupled with that, two of the greatest games you'll ever see. And we got knocked out of the FA Cup. We played a weakened side, but we missed a penalty. And in the league, we managed to get fourth, all right. The other teams weren't, you know, were helping us out a lot, but we did actually achieve fourth again. But we, for some bizarre thing, we hadn't won since January, I don't think, away from home.
That's right.
And the performances weren't great. So it's a real strange one. But going back to Birkinshaw, he actually took us down. I mean,
That's right. Yeah, indeed.
he took us down. He obviously just, I can't remember that period, but presumably learned from his mistakes, got us back, took two steps back, if you like, to take the step, three steps forward, because you take those steps back, you go down a league, you come up again, and then you buy two of the greatest, two players that won the World Cup.
Absolutely. I remember that fondly. When Ozzy and Ricky came to the club.
Yeah. And they weren't professional players on the fringes. They were properly in that, proper brilliant World Cup players. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your legendary player? Not necessarily someone that's played for Spurs, but like you if he comes on, you're like, oh, yeah, what a legend.
That's a good one.
Jason McGovern chose Maradona, as did I.
When I was younger, I mean, you know, when we used to play football over the park and everything, we used to play like Wembley or something like that, or you took players. I always wanted to be Zico. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah.
What a player. He's a player. Brilliant.
Just explain to the kids what Wembley is.
Right, so Wembley is basically it'd be about 10 of us, and it would be the first whoever scored, and
one goal,
and then you go through to the next round, and then whoever was last, who didn't score, got knocked out, and then you just work your way down. So it was you sort of just carry on until you was like two of you left right at the end. So and then whoever won, and then that was it. Yeah, it was pretty good actually.
Yeah. And if you went out the first round, you had a long wait to the next game.
Yeah, long wait, definitely.
I remember the funniest game of Wembley we ever played at school. And it got down, because it's only playtime, whatever, we probably only ever got to play the first round. And then anyway, there's these two lads left, and one of them was a pretty good footballer, and the other one wasn't very good. But he had a shot, and it deflected off the other kid and went in. So this good player had to come off, and anyway this other kid had already gone through, went up to him and pointed at him and laughed. And so this lad who was out, he was pretty tasty, so he gave him three punches to the face, just went bosh, and the bloke went straight back onto his back, and the whistle went then, and it was the end of play. But it was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen during a game of Wembley. Brilliant. Heads and volleys. You remember heads and volleys?
Yeah, headers and volleys. That used to be good. Now the good game. Yeah. You know, it was so different back then, wasn't it? Because you practice it and you practice it, and you used to get good at it in the end.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Not that I was good at it, but I tried.
Always volley. I was terrible at the headers because I didn't want to mess my hair up. But volleys, I was all right at. 1 point for a volley, 2 points for a header. Was that right?
That's it, yeah. 1 point for a volley, 2 points for a header. Yeah, that was the one.
And he had to get to 10. And then the goalkeeper, I think if the goalkeeper saved it, it'd be a point for him. But if he caught it, it'd be 2 points. And if you get to 10, then I think, was it the goalkeeper came out and the last person that gave him the point had to go in? Something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. So everybody had a turn in goal, I think. So that was a good thing about that.
Brilliant. All right, and what about, who is your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Pat Jennings. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. He was my idol, actually, to be fair, when I was younger, because I just remember him. And then I used to live in Armand Road, which is at the back of Tottenham, so that's where I come from.
Oh,
and
so what school did you go to then?
Well, I went to Hazelwood, which is in Palmer's Green. Yeah. So I actually wasn't in Tottenham.
Okay.
And then obviously later on went to Winchmore Hill. But my friend next door, his mum and dad bought him a Spurs kit, and it was the Umbro kit. So it was like the early kit. That was before the Admiral. So I think it would have been about 1975 or something like that.
Okay.
And he had the green one with Pat Jennings, and because I used to like Pat Jennings, I was like really jealous.
Did you ever try and get it off him?
Yeah, I did. I tried to steal it off of him, but I got caught.
What about your favourite ever defender?
Ledley King.
Yeah,
he's brilliant. Yeah, I felt so sorry for him. You know, obviously with his, you know, in the latter part of his career, you know, and he obviously had the trouble. But I mean, what a player! It's funny because I was watching some YouTube stuff the other day.
Yeah.
And there was one tackle he made against, I think it was against Iron Robin when we played Chelsea.
Yes, yes.
And he made up the ground. What a tackle.
How did he make up that ground? I mean, Robin is one of the quickest players of our generation. And how he made it up. But I'll tell you one thing about that. Like I said before about drinking in the bell and hair, what we used to do before that, the prices went extortionate. More recently, but you'd be there, and at 2 o'clock, all the phones would come out to see what the team was. And I don't know if you're like me, but the first thing you'd look for is Ledley in the King, in the team. And if Ledley was in the team, you had a spring in your step, didn't you? You'd be like, yes, he's playing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember because it was quite funny as well because obviously he played alongside Michael Dawson. And I always used to feel that when Michael Dawson used to play alongside Ledley King, it made Michael Dawson a better player.
Yeah.
Which was quite a bit of a strange one because when Ledley King wasn't in the side, he wasn't the same. But whether that was a confidence thing or not, I don't know. But yeah, Ledley King definitely. For me, best defender.
Yeah, and yesterday I was watching the League Cup final again. It was on Sky, and right. Woodgate. And you forget that Woodgate played for us. I've got what?
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously he scored the goal, but and he probably played with Ledley, I wouldn't say more than 10 times. But the two of them, I mean, Woodgate again, a brilliant defender, but absolutely injury ravished. The two of them, if only, you know, all this ifs and buts, but if only we could have kept them for two or three seasons. It's different. Dawson was a lovely guy and a good defender, but he wasn't a world class defender like Ledley King and Woodgate. Such a shame. Right. What about your favourite ever midfielder? Now you've had Hoddle and Gascoigne, so you can have those again, or you can have someone else.
over the times, you know, sort of going to watch Spurs and everything, I think maybe not a Spurs player in this instance, but I used to like Paul Scholes. I think he was a brilliant player.
Okay.
For Man United. Yeah. I mean, the amount of times I used to see Man United beat us over them years, but I think he was really, really good midfield player. Very underrated again. I know he played for England, but I think he was a great little player.
Brilliant. I never hated Man United because growing up, it was Spurs I loved, didn't like Arsenal, and Liverpool were the other team because they'd sort of dominated my childhood when Man United were rubbish. So I don't have that ingrained hatred for Man United like a lot of the younger kids do. So when I used to watch Man United, I'm watching Scholes, I used to sort of be a little bit happy for them, especially when they were beating Arsenal. Scholes, what an amazing player.
I remember there was one goal that sticks in my mind that he scored, and I think it was when Man United were playing Bradford City. And Ryan Giggs took the corner, and he was on the outside of the area, and the ball sort of flicks out, and he just volleyed it top right corner. Brilliant.
He scored about five like that, didn't he? Just leathered it from the corner and stuff. Yeah, what a player. And what about your favourite ever striker?
Yeah, I mean Harry Kane's good, isn't he? But I think I like Gary Lineker actually.
Yeah.
I think although he was only with us for a few seasons, but he was always there.
Yeah.
Although he didn't head the ball much, he was always there and he'd always score. I mean, the other one would probably be maybe Clive Allen, because Clive Allen he was good as well. But I think for me probably Gary Lineker.
Now I've only just discovered this guy on YouTube,
right.
Duck Jive One, and he's put up loads of old Spurs games on there, and have just discovered that they've got the season, the Clive Allen season, the 87 season. And I'm,
right.
And I was flicking through and I went, oh, brilliant. And it's in three parts. It's quite poor footage. It's like quite great. Yeah, it's old. It's maybe copied from a VHS. But I'm going to get stuck into that later. So that looks brilliant. But who did you say? So you said Clive Allen, Harry Kane. Yeah. Who was the other one you said? Oh, Lineker. Right. So Lineker.
Yeah.
Do you know that's the other thing with Lineker? If he hadn't scored for a couple of games, you knew he was going to score in the next game.
Yeah, he was like that. He was consistent, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he was the two seasons I think he played for us. I think he was consistent, and that's right. You know, if he missed a game, you knew the next game he was going to score.
Yeah, very clever. Sort of would just go, right, well, I haven't scored in the last game. I'm going to get myself right in the box, right in the last man, and I'm not moving.
No, absolutely.
I'm getting myself a goal today. And you know, and that is one thing that I think that Kane possibly needs to do a bit more, because he, in certainly in the last couple of years, he's contributed so much to the team play. You know, drops a bit deeper and all that. But I just think that in certain times of the season, I just want to see him get up front and score. Like someone pointed out, do you remember a couple of seasons ago he was about two or three behind the top scorer.
Was it Aguero who was behind, wasn't he?
Eh?
Not being Aguero, was it? He was behind,
yeah,
I think.
And he was behind, and we played Hull and Leicester in the last two away games of the season.
Oh, that's right, we crashed them, didn't we?
Yeah, and all he did was every time he got the ball, he just had a shot. We're just like, no, I want to win that golden boot. And I just thought, wow, do that more often. Do that all the time. Just have a shot. Right, we'll go to Jason McGovern's questions now. Jason McGovern wants to know what your first kit was.
My first kit, that was the Admiral kit, which my mum bought me from the Spurs shop. I went there with her, the little old Spurs shop that used to be on the corner there. That was my first ever Spurs kit. I loved it.
I'll tell you what, the first time you ever, there's people talk about the first time you ever go to White Hart Lane or your first ever football match, but the first time you walk into that Spurs shop with just Spurs surrounding you.
That's brilliant.
That brings back memories, definitely.
I loved it.
What's your favourite kit?
I'd probably say the, I quite like the Adidas kit.
Yeah.
That we had.
Ginola kit.
When Ginola was playing for Spurs, Les Ferdinand Ginola. And I quite liked that kit. That was nice. And I bought that kit actually because I used to play five-a-side, so I love wearing it. Yeah. Nice kit.
That was very nice. A couple of years ago, I bought the Puma kit because it was just completely plain white, nothing on it at all, apart from the cockerel and Puma. And then the next season, we got Under Armour and Arsenal got Puma, so I just chucked it straight in the loft. So I'm not wearing that again. Actually, I could go dig it out now because obviously they're Adidas and they're not Puma anymore. But I've always had that little thing, like whoever they're sponsored by, I can't buy anything to do with them.
That's it.
What's the first match you remember seeing?
Right, so the first game I ever went to, which is my dad took me down, it was a birthday present for me, was when was it now? I just want to think. It was against Arsenal, and it was, I'll tell you when it was. It was the 13th of October 1973, against Arsenal, and we beat them 2-0. I've still got the programme and the ticket. Yeah, yeah, and Martin Chivers and Adam Gill's in school because my dad wrote it on the back of the programme for me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know that website, that YouTube thing? I bet they've got that on there, so.
Probably, yeah, so that was the first game I ever went to, which my dad took me to, so I was 6 years old then.
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
Brilliant.
Again, on the terraces?
Yeah, it was on the terraces. So we was in. We stood on the shelf, but on the lower stand. So we wasn't actually up in the shelf. So it was on the lower part of that. Yeah, loved it. Brilliant.
Fantastic. And what have you been at a football match and it's made you cry? or been at home watching the Spurs, yeah, and it's made you cry.
But I went to the FA Cup semi-final. The FA Cup final in against Nottingham Forest in 1991, when Gary Mabbutt lifted the cups. I was so pleased for him because he's obviously been through such a lot, obviously, because he suffers with diabetes and everything. I was crying.
Ah, brilliant. No, I think I got choked up at that, definitely. I was with my cousin for that one. Me and my brother went, and my two cousins, and my dad was like, he was off with all his prawn sandwich brigade. And we had four tickets. So it's me, two cousins, and me and my brother. And I think just as we was walking in, I sort of said, "Oh, I'm going to go with my cousin, and you can go with it." Because I didn't want to sit next to my brother. definitely tears for that one. And is there a match or a football moment that's been funny, and you've laughed your head off?
Yeah, probably there was. I can't remember who it was against, but it was Ian Walker was in goal, and somebody had a shot, and it sort of rolled along the ground, and it popped over his arms. There was like a divot in the ground. It was just like, oh my, that's unbelievable. It was so funny. That's probably the most funniest thing that I've seen.
I think that was Liverpool. Steve McMahon hit the shot.
Yeah,
and I think it was when we were dreadful, and it was just like. This is just awful stuff.
we went through some bad years, didn't we?
Deary me, yes, we did. What's the worst football match you ever saw?
Probably when we played Manchester United, and I think we were like 3-0 up, and. I said to my mate, we're going to need to score another goal. And I think they ended up beating us 5-3,
yeah.
I think it was. Oh, it's awful. Because I kept saying to my mate, I said, we're going to need to score another goal. We need to score another goal because they're going to come back and beat us. And I couldn't believe it. Yeah, that's probably the worst game I've ever seen us play. It was ridiculous.
That they're showing that match on Saturday night. I was watching that match of their day with Ian Wright.
Oh, right, yes,
and
yes.
They're showing it. This Saturday.
I won't be watching it.
Well, that's the thing. I bumped into a mate yesterday going up to the shop, and social distancing and all that, but we just said, what are you watching? Because he's mad keen football as well. I said, yeah, blooming started to watch all sorts of things and flicked on, you know, The Invincibles, and I've never watched it, but you just have to find something new to watch. And I'm like, no, I've not quite gone that far yet. But I'll probably watch that just to, like I say, like I kind of liked Man United a little bit back in those days, because obviously we were going nowhere. We were never on telly. We were mid-table mediocrity out of all the cups early on. And really, I was kind of a Man United fan because it was Man United and Arsenal going head-to-head. So I was kind of supporting Man United, you know, for a lot of those seasons. And I definitely supported them when they played us in that final game of the season, and I think I supported them another time they were against Arsenal as well. But that game, obviously, I was supporting Spurs, but it was an amazing performance by them in that second half.
Yeah.
An amazing performance by us in the first half, but it just goes to show what proper bottling it is. You know, you get to a Champions League final and you get called a bottler, and you're like, that's not bottling it. Watch us lose 3-0 leads at half time. That's bottling it. Oh, have you ever been? So you talk about the early days of going to matches with all your mates and what have you. Has there been a scary moment you can remember?
Yeah, a really scary moment. I was up at I think it would have been about 85-86 season. I think we played Everton, Goodison Park. And because I used to follow Spurs every night, I used to have a season ticket and just go to all home and away games.
Away as well. So how old were you in 85?
I would have been 17.
17. And we're playing Everton. Now, Everton at the time were like the Man City of
they were good.
Period. Brilliant
good.
Team.
They had a good side. And I think they beat us 4-1 or something like that. Yeah. And after
almost,
the game,
that team, Andy, you could almost name that team. I could certainly probably name six or seven of that, maybe even all of them. They were a brilliant team, Everton. And
yeah, they wouldn't be sorry.
Again, it just shows like people who question Tottenham, this, that, and the other. And listen, we're doing relatively well compared to a lot of how these other sides have fallen. You know, the mighty Arsenal, how far they've fallen. Everton, Everton were massive when I was a kid.
And yeah, no, they were good side.
Massively fallen, but battling relegation. You know, going absolutely nowhere in cups, going nowhere in the league. You know, awful run of games, but they were brilliant back in 85. Go on, mate, carry on your story.
Yeah, so after the game, we all came out and they put us on buses back to Lime Street Station, and as we left the ground, the whole coach got stoned from either side, and all the windows went in. It was that was pretty scary.
Were police there, or was it just load of Everton fans chucking?
Oh, it was just I think there was police there, but there was just like loads of Everton fans just wanting to have a bit of a go after, and decided they'd cave all the windows in on the coaches or the buses that were taking us back to the station. Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah. And what were the Spurs fans doing on the bus? Were they like shouting back? Yeah, come on.
Yeah, shouting back, and then I think there was a few seats that went back out the window and stuff like that. So it was pretty hairy, actually.
Jeez,
pretty hairy.
Yeah. And then when you got back and you told your mum, she said, "Well, you're not going out. You're not doing that again."
Yeah, no, I didn't tell her. she wondered why there was all this glass in my pocket, and I said to her, "I don't know."
Don't know, mum.
No,
oh dear. Right, so what are we going to do next? Yeah, right. A football player over the years who you have always loved. You've always said, "Hey, he's a good player," but everyone's like, "Andy, he's rubbish." You're like, "No, I like him." What player have you had to defend?
That's a difficult one. That is, I think
we've had to defend a few of our fullbacks over the years, haven't we?
Yeah, I used to like Esakoto. But there was a few people that said, "Oh, hey, he's rubbish," and I used to quite like him, actually. I thought he was quite a good player.
No, he was a good player, and I think all this, you know, I'm not really into football, which was his thing, was just, of course he liked football. I mean, a lot of players, actually, when you listen to story, there was a brilliant Vinnie Jones, a documentary on a few months ago, and I watched it, and he talks about how John Fashanu would be in the hotel, wherever they were, playing the next day, and Fash would be on the phone. And he'd shout at Vinnie Jones, who'd be sitting in like the lounge or whatever, and just goes, "Vinnie, who are we playing tomorrow?" And Vinnie would look up and go, "Man United." And he'd go back on the phone and go, "Oh, we're playing Man United." He wouldn't even know. But I tell you what, you know what Asokoto reminds me of, this little subtle thing that I noticed. Everyone used to have a go at Adebayor, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
In the defence of Adebayor, and we won't get into it too much, but in defence of Adebayor, he did score goals, and we celebrated a few goals, and he put himself about in some games. Okay, he wasn't completely useless, but I'll tell you the biggest thing that he probably did that was the worst thing for our club was he befriended Asokoto, if you remember rightly, and as soon as that friendship kind of stirred up, Asokoto really couldn't be bothered anymore. So from being sort of quite a good player, he all of a sudden just was like, I don't know, grew his hair out, didn't he? Didn't tie it back anymore. It's almost like he was his one of Adebayor's entourage. So that's probably the worst thing that Adebayor did for me. Convinced Asokoto not to play football anymore. Right, last question then. What is your favourite match? So, one of your many children, I'm sure they're all into football, but let's pretend for a moment that we're not, and they come up to you and say, "Dad, I want to get into football now." And you say, "Right, okay, watch this." And you hand him a DVD. What match are you giving him to watch?
Tottenham against Liverpool at Anfield in 1984. I was there, and we beat Liverpool 1-0. Garth Crook scored, and it was the first time that we beat Liverpool at Anfield for 75 years. And it was brilliant. It was, we just absolutely, we played so well. It was that would definitely be the game for me.
Wow. I think I think when you beat Liverpool and Man United away, it doesn't give you more pleasure than beating Arsenal or Chelsea away, but it's certainly up there. These two teams, Liverpool and Man United, they're not just England's biggest teams. They're the world's biggest teams. Anywhere you go in the world, everyone knows Man United and Liverpool. And that's one of the things I always try and say to people when they're moaning about Spurs not winning things. You know, you're like, well, not only do we have to compete with a team that's run by a country, Man City, a team that's run by a Russian oligarch who's just ridiculous billionaire, Chelsea. Yeah. You've also got all the teams around us that are of similar standing, like your Everton's. Teams with bigger stadiums, Newcastle, much bigger stadium. Sunderland have got a bigger stadium. Aston Villa, you go back in history, you've got Leeds and teams like Nottingham Forest who have won the European Cup twice. So yep. Competing with all these teams. I mean, we had the same size stadium of West Ham for God knows how long, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
But the big one is the Liverpool Man United. They are absolutely huge. So getting those results, the one I remember, of course, is the FA Cup one when Clinton scored in the last minute.
Yeah, I was at that game. That was brilliant as well. Yeah.
So, all right, so here's one for you then. When did you go most crazy? The Klinsmann goal or the Garth Crooks goal?
Oh, no. Klinsmann goal. That was. I'll tell you why, because there was a guy sitting next to me, and I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a guy sitting next to me, and he had his leg was in like a brace because he'd had some sort of accident. So he had like pins and bits and pieces. He had like this cage thing around his leg. And when Klinsmann scored, he wasn't next to me anymore. He was about five rows in front of me, and it was. I think there was like 7,000 Spurs fans up there, and it was just fantastic. The worst thing about it, unfortunately for us, was that we'd done all that hard work, and then we went and played Everton, and we played him in the semi-final at Leeds ground, and we got hammered 4-1.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that was the time when I went mental. That was brilliant.
fantastic. Right, mate. I mean, that's the end of those questions. Is there anything you want to say about the current side or anything that's on your mind? Levy, Harry Kane? What do you reckon?
I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think where we've sort of set ourselves up over the last few years, you know, and the expectation is like massive now. You know, people say, no, we should be up there. We should be doing that. We should be doing this. I think you have to be realistic about it. I think that, we should be up there, you know, brilliant stadium, state-of-the-art training facilities and all that sort of stuff. But I just think that with the situation with Enic, the running the club, obviously there is an issue over sort of like the spending of money on getting new players in and all this sort of stuff. But I think what it's done, it's put everybody in a bit of a, well, we don't really know what's going to happen, and you know, are we going to get anywhere? Are we going to win anything? And I think that sort of filters down into the players as well. You know, I'm not too sure. I'm hoping, you know, because you've got to give Mourinho a chance. You know, I know it was his connection with Chelsea and all this sort of stuff, but I think, you know, he is a winner, isn't he? We've got
to get past this connections thing. Again, I'm watching the Chelsea game last night, and Anelka's playing for Chelsea. And it made me think about all the players that have played for both Chelsea and Arsenal.
Yeah.
In the fact that they don't have that problem. Our biggest problem is that we say, right, well, we can't buy players from Arsenal and Chelsea because we don't like them. We're not going to get players from Man City, Man United and Liverpool because it is a step down in terms of, you know, the size of those clubs at the moment.
Yeah.
where are we going to get players from? So we've got managers from. So we've got to start thinking. Do you know what? Put all that aside, and we even look at Arsenal players and just go and pick off some of their best players. You know, if they fancy playing with Mourinho, you know. And you're right. And it is a mystery. Why aren't we making these phone? Why isn't Mourinho making these phone calls? We've got massive players beforehand. So why can't he phone up, I don't know, a Sergio Ramos at Real Madrid and say, listen, you know, you've been at Real Madrid for, 15 years. Come and have a couple of years in the Premier League.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know, Sorry, mate. I was just going to say, and all the arguments about we won't pay his wages, we won't pay this, we won't pay that, just put that aside for the moment. Just let's at least explore that avenue.
I think the other thing as well is that with the way football's gone, you know, over the last sort of like decade, you know, it is a business now. That's the reality of it. It is a business, and you know, you can strip it all back and go, oh, you know, it's just a football club and we just play football and that's all we do. It isn't that anymore. It's a business. And Daniel Levy is, you know, the way he is and the way that it works. That's the way it's going to be. And either we have to accept it or we don't, you know, and it's as simple as that, really.
My biggest counter-argument to that, though, is that the more successful we are, the more money they'd get.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think... But they're always looking at other avenues and other ways of generating money. But if they are going to do that, you know, like with boxing at the ground and all these other things, you know, with American football and everything, if that's going to be the case, and you know, that money, then if it's coming into the club, you would expect or you would assume would then be fed into the football side.
Well, I certainly hope so.
I'd like to think that's good, that will be the case, and if it is, then you know it'll be good for us. I just, you know, a lot of things, but you know, sort of touched on Harry Kane there. You know, you know, there's a lot of things in the paper the last few days. You know, he's going to go off. If he goes, he goes. You know, it's not the end of the world, is it?
We've lost players, brilliant players before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there'll be other players that will come up through the ranks. You know, because we like doing that. And everyone seems to pin all their hopes. Oh, with Harry Kane goes, it's like that's it. We're finished. It's not. You know, we just. You know, I'll go back to the bad. If people want to see Spurs when we were playing bad, go back to the days when George Graham was manager and around that sort of time. We didn't have a good side at all, and we was rubbish. It was only until Martin Jole came to the club, then things started to change a little bit the way we started. But before that, you know, between then and for a good 10 years, we weren't very good at all. People need to remember that.
Yeah, I'm watching the League Cup last night and I'm thinking, oh, this was fantastic, brilliant. And then you look at the results after that League Cup win. We lost, I don't think we won another game. So the League Cup final was on whatever it was, March the 1st or whatever. So we probably had 10, 12 games left of the season. We didn't win a game, I don't think, or maybe 1-1. And then at the end of the season, Berbatov and Keane both decided they wanted to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, winning trophies, and a lot of people say, oh, we win one, we win more. You know, it's going to be a catalyst. It's going to start it all off. It's too simplistic.
The only chance, really, I mean, the only way, you know, if you look at, like Manchester City and Chelsea and all that, it's money rules football now. And that's the way it is. And unless, you know, if you want to get on that bandwagon, then great, you know. I think Tottenham's ethos is not, you know, you can't sort of buy trophies. You know, you've got to try and sort of win it with and bring players through and do that, which is good. But I think that you have to have a happy medium between the two. But I don't really know what that is.
I think it needs to be more ruthless. You look at Ajax, right? We have been so ruthless over the years with Ajax picking out their best players. And then that Ziyech goes to Chelsea. And you're like, right, okay, but we just let us be more ruthless and pick off some of these players. Go and get Southampton's best player, and go and get West Ham's best player again. And I don't know, but we've got to be a little bit more upbeat, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
There's so much negativity. about our players and the fact that we need to spend all this money and we haven't got this and we haven't got that. And as soon as you say something like, well, look at that club, and they go, well, I don't care about that club. You know, but it takes it out of context. I'm not saying I care about them, like I like them, but it's the almost the word care is the wrong word. It's acknowledge. Well, you've got to acknowledge the other clubs. You've got to acknowledge the clubs that are spending all the money. You've got to acknowledge the clubs that are in the same position as us. And by the way, there's no one in this exactly the same position as us, because no one else has built a brand new stadium. So no one's in that position, but they are in the same position in terms of the size of the club. You know, you just look at Newcastle. Again, they've just been taken over by Saudis. I mean, what's going to happen there? And just on that, sorry, I'm on a bit of a rant at the moment. We've now got what everybody wants, which is a multi-billionaire who's just sold his football club, right? He's got a load of Saudi money in. So that's Mike Ashley, who's already a billionaire, presumably, has got a few more billions, or millions at least, in the bank, and he's a massive Spurs fan.
Yep.
So careful what you wish for, Spurs fans, because if you want that, if you don't want that Arabian money and you don't want that Russian money, you want an English businessman who loves Tottenham, who's a billionaire. There's only one person that I know like that, and that's blooming Mike Ashley.
Yep, definitely.
So be careful what you wish for. All right, mate, definitely. Brilliant. Lovely chatting to you.
Yeah, listen, Steve, thanks for having me on the show. It was really good, and I hope everybody enjoys it when they listen to it. And come on, you Spurs. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, Andy. See you later.
All the best, mate. See you, mate. Bye-bye. Bye.